Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. William Nylander makes his season debut. What are the fantasy implications for his Leaf teammates? Love him or hate him? How to replace the injured Tom Wilson? And daily fantasy locks heading into the weekend. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Pete Jensen and Rob Reese back with you talking fantasy pucks on this Friday morning ahead of a big weekend slate in the National Hockey League, and also fresh off William Nylander's much-anticipated debut, Rob.
How could we not talk about William Nylander? And we finally saw what might be his lineup placement. He skated on the third line for most of the game against the Detroit Red Wings. Also didn't take a shift in the third period. So I'm not sold on his line placement on that third line with Marleau and Kadri. I think he's going to be back on that second line. In fact, I think both Marleau and Nylander will be back on the second line, if you can even call it that, with Austin Matthews.
And with Nylander on the third line, that meant that the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock, went with a younger line. They went with Andreas Janssen on the left side and Kasperi Kapanen, who we mentioned. We talked about all these different possibilities. The Leafs can go into the rest of the way for this season with a very strong third line if they so choose. They could go with young guns on a line with Austin Matthews. And by the way, Austin Matthews in his NHL career has produced with Zach Hyman on his line, with Connor Brown on his line, with all this mishmash of players, good or bad, Nylander or bad, he produces. So that really gives Maple Leafs a lot of options here.
I firmly believe it will be Nylander. I found a stat that said last season, Nylander led all Maple Leafs forwards with 62 scoring chances off the rush. That's how Matthews excels in the game. Last night, I had Austin Matthews in my FanDuel lineup. I actually had him stacked with Nylander. Matthews had an assist and one shot on goal. To me, Matthews only having one shot on goal means that he needs more help on the wing. I think it was a great test game for Mike Babcock to use Nylander, limited situation, get his legs back, and now moving forward, we'll really be able to see what the Leafs are capable of.
And Nylander, we were talking about it last week. He's been skating in Sweden for much of the past few months, recreationally, not at game speed, so you expect a period for him to get his feet wet again and get back into game rhythm, get back into game shape. But in the meantime, Andreas Janssen is extremely low ownership, under 10%, another two-point game, 8 points in his past six games. You don't sound like you're really buying this, and I don't really blame you. This is a streaming option, but for deep league fantasy owners, on this morning, I'm advising all of you to go pick this guy up if you're in a deep fantasy league.
Deep leagues, yeah, you have to be all over that trend. I love it from that perspective. From a DFS perspective, I also am very high on that trend because his price is going to be low fours, high threes. But season long, this is William Nylander's spot. And I liken this situation to Tom Wilson of the Capitals, where he came in right away, got reinserted in the lineup. Same situation. He was just skating. He wasn't at game intensity. I think Nylander will make an immediate impact. It just might take a couple games.
Now, before we move on, do you see any chance that Kapanen moves to left wing? Because I know that was bounced around the past couple of days before Nylander came back. To me, the appeal is in Janssen right now because he's a left wing, and Marleau played well with Kadri last season on the line with Mitchell Marner. Of course, Marner's up top with John Tavares right now, but Janssen is a left wing and Kapanen is a right wing. So if anything, Kapanen's value is more likely to decline than Janssen.
The more we discuss this, Pete, the more that I realize what a great problem this is for the Maple Leafs to have. The fact that these are basically nine fantasy relevant forwards on one team only means great things for your roster. That's a good point. I think Kapanen could move to the left side. I think it's more unlikely than what us just seeing Marleau, Matthews, Nylander as the line moving forward, especially like in the second half when those games mean a lot more, the intensity's higher. But right now, I'm definitely keeping an eye on it. I'm not making any brash decisions or any rash decisions in my season-long leagues, but certainly a lot more fun to be watching this Maple Leafs team with all this shuffling going on.
Absolutely. And the Maple Leafs made a trade earlier in the week, sending Josh Levo to the Vancouver Canucks. And we have two trades here to discuss before we get into the game slate. So we have Levo to the Canucks, where he's played at least for the first two games, which is worth something for sure, on a line with Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser, two high-end fantasy assets. And then also Daniel Sprong in Anaheim scored in his Ducks debut on a line with Adam Henrique. So which of these two guys, or both, which one are you looking at right now?
both. And Levo scored in his debut too. A beautiful goal against the Wild. Top shelf, rang the bar, and it was a setup from Elias Pettersson. Beautiful pass right in the slot. And to me, when I saw that replay, it doesn't matter who was in the middle of the ice. You needed a quality player to finish that chance. It was a really high quality chance, but you needed a high velocity shot to score it, and Levo has one, and he produced well with the Maple Leafs. But as we were just talking at length about, they have too many forwards for anybody else to crack the lineup. So Levo has a great opportunity here. He skated in 16 minutes, 16:53 that first game. I didn't see his time on ice last night, but if it's anything above 15, that is a player that you're going to want to pick up and stash. If he stays with Elias Pettersson and Besser, that is a starting lineup quality player. And then to talk about Sprong, very high on him as well. He had 65 points in 65 AHL games last season. That's not easy to do. He inserted right away in that lineup spot, scored that nice top shelf goal. Now, the only caveat with the Ducks, because I'm high on them right now, is Rickard Rakell is injured.
Yeah, that's a big blow potentially to a line that has had a high ceiling all season long with the Getzlaf and Rakell line, but the right wing has been a rotating game, and now Rakell could really dip that line's fortunes the rest of the way. But yeah, for Daniel Sprong, he also scored an impressive goal. It was a sharp angle goal. He took Andre Kasha's spot immediately, and both of these guys, from Sprong, who was mostly third or fourth line this season, when he was in the lineup, he was scratched multiple times, and then Levo, who played mostly third or fourth line in Toronto, there's a ton of motivation for these guys going from high-powered offenses where they couldn't scratch the surface and now getting big roles. And another note for the Canucks, I noticed that Nikolai Goldobin has been a healthy scratch recently. He came back on Thursday, and the Canucks beat the Nashville Predators, a depleted Predators team, but Vancouver is one of those teams that I know you have been in their corner since the start of the season. They've had a ton of injuries, but now everybody's back. They added Levo. They have Alexander Edler, who's been productive. I mean, what's your pulse on this Canucks team moving forward? And can they get back into the race in the Pacific? That's probably the weakest division in the league.
My pulse is that the Canucks are a DFS player's dream. I had Elias Pettersson in my lineup on Thursday night. I ended up placing third place in the contest. He was priced at $5,600. That's one of the most premier players in the game.
That's
He's
amazing.
Tied for third in the NHL with three multi-goal games. Any given night, if you have him in the lineup, he can break an entire slate. So my pulse moving forward is target the Canucks and DFS, because chances are they're low ownership. Not only do they play late games because of the time difference, but people just get down on these teams that don't really win. Well, guess what? Now that underrated addition Jay Beagle's also back in the lineup, they're going to have more defensive stability, allow those offensive guys to blossom. So DFS here, get the Canucks in your lineup. Season long, also look at Josh Levo. I think put on your bench, stash him. You never know what his ceiling is.
And to me, for DFS contests, when you're building your lineup, I always look for that value center for my number two center. And one guy from the Canucks that stood out on Tuesday didn't really pan out, but he did on Thursday, is Bo Horvat. Bo Horvat's close to a point per game on the season, and he's in the mid 5,000 range. So any Canucks games in the near future, I know they don't play Friday or Saturday this weekend, but the Canucks have a ton of options. Even that second line of Goldobin, who's back from the healthy scratch, Horvat and Jake Virtanen, that's a pretty sneaky second line as well.
It is, and it's great to see that they have those depth scoring options, because you're going to be able to find value there. Before we get into the slates, let's talk about two injuries, Pete. We have Matt Duchene for the Ottawa Senators. It looked pretty bad. I've heard speculation today it could be a long-term injury. He's been a top 50 fantasy player, so major implications there. And also for the Washington Capitals, we had Tom Wilson, who was another big-time fantasy-relevant player, go down with injury. And I found a stat yesterday about Tom Wilson. He is one of two NHL players to have at least 14 points and 23 hits since he made his debut on November 13th. Can you guess the other player, Pete?
I'd probably say Landeskog.
It's his line mate, Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, nice, nice. That's a great stat. I mean, Landeskog's been great with the hits and the scoring on one of the best lines in the league. But yeah, that Ovechkin-Wilson combination on both wings was pretty daunting from a physicality standpoint and also a goal scoring standpoint. And Tom Wilson, prior to his injury, what a shame. I mean, he had 7 goals in a 6-game goal streak, so the consistency was there. We hope he's back in the lineup soon. If you're looking for a streaming option from Washington, Jacob Vrana is still only 10% owned. He has 3 goals in his past 2 games. He has 3 multi-point games over the past couple of weeks, so I really like him. And Andre Burakovsky, who we always monitor for his fantasy ceiling when he's in a top 6 role, he's now on that top line with Ovechkin and Backstrom.
Love him or hate him, you cannot replace Tom Wilson in season long leagues. Turning to the Ottawa Senators, though, to talk about Matt Duchene, that, you know, it will depend on the severity of the injury. I would look at the Ducks. That is my team right now of waiver wire ads. I'd look at Adam Henrique as a center replacement. Henrique, 6-game point streak since since November 21st, the Ducks rank or tied for first in the NHL with points with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they are winning. They have 2 great goaltenders, so some defensive stability there. It's not going to hurt your plus minus, especially because you've already been on the Ottawa Senators train, so you know what a minus looks like. So this, to me, is a safe streaming option moving forward. I'd get Adam Henrique in my lineup.
I like Colin White. I mean, he was already playing with Mark Stone. Now he's going to get a bigger usage. He had 2 points on Thursday, so I would take a look at an in-house replacement. And Colin White, the rookie, who has a very high ceiling, dealt with injury last year, but has been a glimmer of hope depth scoring-wise for the Ottawa Senators. And then outside, I'm definitely looking at Cody Eakin. He's my pick for Saturday night's slate. Vegas Golden Knights, one of the hottest teams in the league since Nate Schmidt came back from injury. And since November 6th, 15 points in 16 games for Cody Eakin. That is top-level production on a line with Pacioretty and Alex Tuch.
I cannot wait until Paul Stastny gets back and we really see what that team's capable of, because they've really righted the ship. But let's tune to some Friday games. We have a really interesting one. Sharks at Stars, one of the premier matchups, could be a potential playoff matchup in the Western Conference. I know one of my fantasy MVPs on my Yahoo League this year, Timo Meier, returned to the lineup, made an immediate impact. Then on the other side of the ice, Ben Bishop is confirmed to start. So high-octane Sharks offense versus a pretty good fantasy goaltender. This one has a lot to dive into.
Yeah, Timo Meier is one of the best even strength point producers in the NHL when healthy. He had that short injury absence, only about 3 games, I believe, and now he came back and he had 3 points in the game. So it was an interesting dilemma in my forward ranks and the top 200 this week, because he was right in that range just back from injury, and he was right in that range with William Nylander. And I actually went with Meier over Nylander just because he's been a sure thing no matter where he's played. We don't know how Nylander might handle getting slowly worked back into the mix. So I went with Timo Meier, and I think that he's been the most productive and consistent Sharks forward in the lineup this season.
He has been, hands down. And the Sharks, it's hard to play them in DFS almost, because those first 2 lines are so separate in terms of production. And Meier had those 3 points in only 14 minutes, so he made the most out of every shift he was on the ice. Now their top line is Tomas Hertl, Logan Couture, and Joe Pavelski playing on the right side. So you know what? It's hard to even get stacking options. I'd almost advocate for a strategy where you have a top line wing like Pavelski or Hertl, and then take Meier on that second line too.
Now, I built a lineup for this Friday night. I had a Radulov-Sagan stack because it's only 4 games. You can load up on one team. I feel like not many people would spend up for a Dallas stack. But I also had Tomas Hertl in my lineup. He's mid 5,000 range in FanDuel. I really like his appeal. And you look at his last game, he had 5 block shots, Tomas Hertl. So in addition to the exposure to Logan Couture and Pavelski, that's really appealing for me for a middle tier price player. So I would go Tomas Hertl on my wing. And then another note, so we were talking up and hyping up Timo Meier. He's playing now with Joe Thornton, and Joe Thornton had 3 assists the other day. You never know if Joe Thornton might just go on a little scoring binge. And with that exposure to Meier, maybe he's another outside replacement for a Matt Duchene.
I would say Joe Thornton's a great DFS stream, and your point was so well articulated. To complement the fact that I can't choose one of their lines, I think what I would do is just put that value play in at center, right? Get the Joe Thornton in your lineup. And if Timo Meier has a great game, good. You got the cheap exposure to him for nothing. In terms of goalies in this game, Ben Bishop, he's priced at $9,000 on the Friday slate, which is the most expensive goalie against the Sharks team. While I'm very high on Ben Bishop, I just would not play either goalies. The flip side, it could be Martin Jones, it could be Arundel. They've both been struggling lately, so against the Dallas offense, I wouldn't take their goalie either.
I think this is 4-3 territory. Maybe Dallas gets the win. Bishop's probably worth spending up for, but the Sharks have some sneaky appeal. I would probably go in a different direction for the goalies, and Bishop is confirmed, so that's good at least to know. If you have the money, I mentioned it's a small contest, you have the money, you can easily spend up and fit Ben Bishop into your lineup. He's been good since coming back from injury. Now let's turn the table to Blues at Jets. To me, this Jets team has been marked by their injuries on the blue line lately. Dustin Byfuglien out with a concussion. Now Josh Morrissey was a late scratch on Tuesday. They haven't played since. So Friday night, Jacob Trouba has to be close to a lineup lock in this game here against the St. Louis Blues, one of the weaker teams in the West.
He is a lineup lock. I wrote about him in the top 50 defensemen. I published it on Wednesday. Article came out Wednesday night. I put Jacob Trouba in the image. He scored a goal that night. It was like destiny. So I'm high on Jacob Trouba. He's got 6 points over his past 6 games, but he's logging big time minutes, over 25 for that Winnipeg Jets team. And if you think about it, just do the simple math, 25 minutes with exposure to Patrick Laine, Nikolai Ehlers, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, the list goes on and on. So that is a cheap exposure option to all of those guys.
And Jacob Trouba +8 in his past 6 games, 12 blocks. So the blocks help you in FanDuel. The +8 will help you in season-long Yahoo leagues. So keep an eye on him. Get him in your lineup no matter which fantasy format you play.
Patrick Laine, who hasn't had a goal in 3 games, I'm thinking this is a nice spot for him. I know he had that monster game against the Blues earlier in the year. If my count's correct, he had 5 goals against the Blues in 1 game earlier. So that is a spend up for maybe if you really feel high on the Jets with the depleted Blues. Well, hey, you could stack Trouba and Laine.
If Laine has a multi-goal game, he's probably going to be lifting most of the leaders in any contest you're playing tonight. Most expensive wing on the slate, but very well worth the price point for the Winnipeg Jets. $8,500, so you can fit him in pretty easily. Wild at Oilers. Now, the Oilers have played Alex Chiasson on that top line with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid lately. Valentin Zhukov has been activated, so maybe he gets worked into the mix in this game. Alex Chiasson, though, he was a depth scorer for the Washington Capitals last year in their run to the Stanley Cup, and he's already close. We're just past the quarter mark of the season. He's already close to a career high in goals. He has 11, and 13 is his career high from a couple of years ago in Dallas.
I've just seen too many wings occupy that spot, and they all produce there. So what does it say about the player or the line mates? And it definitely says more to me about the line mates. This is a spend up situation, and you know, I really have a hard time looking for value in this Edmonton Oilers team. It's glaring. Oscar Klefbom should be in your lineup. Connor McDavid should be in your lineup. Leon Draisaitl should be in your lineup. Other than those premier names, I really struggle to feel confident rolling Alex Chiasson out in a DFS contest.
So if you're choosing between spending up at center between Connor McDavid, top price player, or Patrick Laine, does the opponent make the difference? Because the Wild, I know the Wild have been giving up more goals lately than, you know, uncharacteristic of them, but I still worry about the Wild any given night, and I would probably lean more towards Laine than McDavid here.
I still like their big D in this game. Ryan Suter and Matt Dumba are always a shutdown pair. Suter's got 3 points in his past 5 games. He's just so consistent logging those big minutes. I actually have him in the lineup as a value defenseman for $5,200. Anybody that plays 26, 27 minutes, it's a good pick for me. I feel more safely about the Wild. I think they're better coached. I'm still waiting to see how that Edmonton coaching change with Ken Hitchcock really plays out. I like that they've had a short-term boost, but to me, anytime a team goes through those changes, I like to watch, get my observations, and then pick the players.
Let's take a look at the last game of the night here on Friday. Hurricanes at Ducks. The Ducks are red hot, one of the hottest teams in the league. We mentioned their injury concern with Rickard Rakell, but on the Hurricanes side, this team is trending down, down, down lately, and injuries have played a part. Now Jordan Staal's out with a concussion. A bunch of these guys have been banged up, and Curtis McElhaney left practice early on Thursday, so that's a no-go for their hot goaltender.
Jordan Staal was a 70% owned player in October. He's down to under 15 now. Wow. With this injury, so you can kind of see how hot the Canes were and now how cold they are. I like the Ducks a lot in this game. They have two quality goaltenders. Whichever it's going to be starting, John Gibson or Ryan Miller, they have yet to say. Gibson's at $8,500 on the slate. He's 5-1-0 in his past seven. Ryan Miller's won two straight for $7,900 against the Carolina team. I just don't trust right now. I find that to be good value.
One guy I'm looking at as a value center, Victor Rask. He came back. This is, again, I think it's going to be his eighth or ninth game back from that season-opening injury. He's probably going to play either on the second line with Svechnikov or maybe on the first line with Sebastian Aho. They've been bumping Aho. He started the season at center. He moved to wing. Now it sounds like he's going to move back to center. He's trending down. He moved outside our top 50 after being in the 30s last week. So the whole team has plummeted, and Sebastian Aho's value in the short term, at least, is suffering. But thoughts on the Hurricanes against the grain value here, because I am going to roster a Victor Rask here just because of potential line mates and an elevated role.
It would be smart to set two lineups and use like a low ownership lineup and target the Canes, because you never know. It's the NHL. It's really unpredictable at times. Over an 82 game season, there will be games where the Hurricanes will blow the Ducks out 5-0. I could see that happening, but to me, I am in the Ducks on this game. I also have Adam Henrique as my value center for 4,900. Six game point streak. I think he keeps that going against the Canes.
So you have Adam Henrique at 4,900. I have Victor Rask at 3,500. A big discount there with Stahl injured, Aho changing positions constantly, likely low ownership for Victor Rask. And it is his eighth game back from injury. So now let's shift to the wings. Tomáš Hertl, I mentioned him earlier. Good price point, 5,300. Top line with Couture and Pavelski, sign me up. Jacob Trouba with Morrissey and Byfuglien out, 5,300. Past four games, look at these FanDuel totals. High floor player with all the blocks, all the shots, the points as well over the span. 17.3, 27.2, 9.6, and 29.6. So the high ceiling and the high floor for Trouba. And then my goalie, just a glance at all these goaltenders leads me to believe that Connor Hellebuck has a great chance of winning the game, especially against the Blues. 8,300, he's a little bit cheaper than Bishop. And no Steen, no Schwartz, no Petrangelo, no Fabry. So I think 75%+ chance that the Winnipeg Jets win this game against the Blues at home.
That Connor Hellebuck is a really strong goalie on the options tonight, just because the Blues are banged up. They have no appeal in fantasy anymore, so I'm on that train too. In fact, I have their wing, Kyle Connor, for 5,500. I was wondering, why is his price so low? Well, it's because he only has 1 point in his past five games. The reason I like that is because I'm getting that cheap exposure to a high-octane offense, and the insurance you get with Kyle Connor is his shot volume. He's always a double-digit fantasy player because he shoots the puck. So that, to me, is a great call in the lineup. And then I mentioned Suter on defense for $5,200. Again, that's one of the premier defenders in the game for that price point. You can't really beat it. And then either John Gibson or Ryan Miller. I feel strong about the Ducks against the Hurricanes.
And Ryan Miller, after his last win, it was, I believe, in Florida or in Tampa Bay. He's near the top of the all-time United States-born goaltender wins list. So if Miller gets the start, there's going to be a lot to play for there. So great pick there. And also your Kyle Connor pick. Look at the safety net of the Winnipeg Jets, and whether he plays on the top line with Scheifele and Wheeler or second line with Little and Laine. Laine has that big game capability against the Blues, as we've seen, and it's just a safe spot and cheap exposure to the Winnipeg Jets. So I really like that pick. So now Saturday's slate, much bigger. 10 games, kicks off with Flyers at Sabres, 1 p.m. Eastern game. So the big development for the Flyers, who have been trending down for months now this season, it's kind of sad, but they still have Dave Hakstol. Their second line is new. So it started the day yesterday with JVR, Patrick, and Simmons. It ended the day with Voracek, Patrick, and Simmons. Are you viewing any of these wings any differently? Nolan Patrick's pointless streak, 9 games without a point.
No, I don't view any of them differently. We've seen this too much. When we do the top forwards and the top 200 every week, we always bat around these Flyer guys. They all end up kind of trending down, and then 1 week Konechny will emerge, 1 week Simmons will emerge. We have yet to see it with JVR, but then the next week, they're falling back down to earth. So this Flyers team I'm taking a pass on. They've allowed the third most goals against per game, 3.54 goals against a game. That's almost 4 goals a game. Not good there. But on top of that, icing on the cake here, they have the second worst PK in the league, converting at just 72.9% of time. So that Flyers team, they have the ability to get lit up. It's a 1 o'clock game. We can see them come off to a slow start. They're on the road in Buffalo. I like Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart as spend up for us in that game. Reinhart's got 8 points in his past 5. He is taking over. And Jack Eichel has 3 multi-point games in his past 4. That is slate-breaking potential.
And the Buffalo Sabres got to be thrilled to see the Flyers on their schedule after that Thanksgiving Eve game when they ripped them apart. And then now, after the 10-game winning streak, the Sabres have lost 4 in a row. It was a difficult schedule, though. They played Nashville, Tampa Bay, Florida on the second of a back-to-back, Toronto in that wild game on Tuesday night. They almost won. They took them to overtime. So the Sabres have been encouraging. I like Carter Hutton's home splits for this game. He's my goalie of the night. And I think that the Sabres are pretty much a lock for all those offensive reasons and also because of Hutton's stability, even during the losing streak. He's been competitive.
I like that we're still both high on Buffalo, even though they have had a couple of those losses. And even when they were on that big winning streak, you and I were the first to say, hey, this could easily be going the other way because these are all tight games. Well, guess what? If they're tight games, that means they're competitive, win or lose. So Buffalo is a no-brainer in my opinion. Another team that's trending up, up, and up. Golden Knights at the Los Angeles Kings. 4 p.m. game here. Nate Schmidt back in the lineup seems to really have stabilized things for them.
Nate Schmidt has made a profound impact. 8-2-0 in 10 games since he's come back. They're scoring at a very high rate throughout the lineup. He had 3 points 2 games ago, so he has that big game capability and very cheap in the $3,000 range. So if you're looking for safe, easy, convenient exposure to the Golden Knights, go with him. And you had an interesting thought on this game. Make sure you get a Golden Knight in your lineup, regardless of the price point and regardless of the position.
Right. And when I was looking at their game last night, I noticed Max Pacioretty a lot. He had missed a few games with an undisclosed injury, made a big impact with 2 assists. I'm actually turning away from Pacioretty in this one, even though I have him in my season-long league. I'm looking at Riley Smith as my standalone exposure player to the Golden Knights offense. Quietly has 5 points and 14 shots on goal in his past 4 games. And you know what? It's the same sort of mentality with the Winnipeg Jets. It's just such a strong team that if you get one of those cheaper guys in your lineup, you get access to the big guys. And again, this kind of has trap game written on it to me because the Kings are trending down. If Jonathan Quick plays really well and it's a low-scoring affair, I still think Riley Smith is on the scoreboard. So it's kind of a feeler game for me where I want that insurance too.
And my tapping into this game comes in the form of Cody Eakin, who I mentioned over the past month or so of the season is close to a point per game. So that's just my number 2 center of the night. I'll pencil that in before I even know his price because he's probably going to be at the highest in the low $5,000 range.
So I know it's only been 20 minutes since we've talked about William Nylander and the Maple Leafs last, but they have a good game against the Bruins on Saturday. From a fan standpoint, that should be a great game to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. 2 tough teams in the Atlantic Division. Boston is depleted, but good news on their front. They got Charlie McAvoy back in his first game back since mid-October. He logs 21-02, 2 shots, 2 hits. He's a guy that is cheap in DFS. I believe he was in 4,500 for his return to the lineup on Thursday. So I really like McAvoy. We talked about his even strength production and reliability even when he's not on the first power play. So he's a breath of fresh air to the Bruins. I think the Maple Leafs win this game, but wouldn't be surprised at all to see McAvoy maybe get some of those guys going, get a Pasternak or a Brad Marchand going. These guys have been underwhelming lately.
I was just going to say, this is a game that Brad Marchand gets up for. You could even probably see some of his antics on display on this one too. He loves these big games. The attention will be on him. He's got 3 games without a point. The only reason I know that, because I have him in a season-long league where he's costing me in my week-to-week matchup right now. But this is a game Marchand gets up for, and I think this is a game that Boston gets up for. And I already can see the headlines on Saturday night in Toronto. William Nylander curses the Maple Leafs' fortunes this season. It's going to be the storyline. I like Boston in this game.
And no Chara, no Bergeron, so they're going to count on him to get under the opponent's skin. from the Maple Leaf standpoint, I mentioned Andreas Janssen, goal and an assist Thursday, playing for a bit of that game with Matthews and Kapanen. I'm riding the hot hand with him. He's been really good over his past six. And Jake Gardner, we mentioned him earlier in the week after the Nylander signing, potential beneficiary right off the bat. 5 points in his past three games, all at even strength. That was his MO last season, and he doesn't need the power play to be fantasy relevant, and he should be owned in all formats right now with the Maple Leafs finally at full strength.
Jake Gardner is the Leaf in my lineup on Saturday, and because his price has come down, because he was struggling before that, now he's got 5 points in the past three games, so the production is back up. I'm going to enjoy watching this game, but I do have a spend up for Brad Marchand and then a spend down for in Jake Gardner on the other side of the ice to get that insurance.
So to summarize, we're each getting a Golden Knight into our lineups, and we're each getting a Maple Leaf into our lineups. So keep that strategy in mind as you're building throughout this slate on Saturday. Penguins at Senators. We mentioned the Duchesne injury, so Colin White has streaming appeal, especially in DFS. Another injury note, Patrick Hornquist, who was out for a few games with the concussion, came back, scored a hat trick the other day. Unfortunately, he left the game on Thursday with another injury. So 644 he played in the game and then left, so that's really a deafening blow to them. But that Crosby-Gensel duo is really lighting it up lately. I have Crosby in that one season-long league that we have that's points only. I still have Kessel, Malkin, and Crosby, and those guys, Kessel had 4 points on Thursday.
I actually have Jake Gensel in my lineup for this one. Sid and him combined for 10 points against the New York Islanders. If you think back to the playoffs last season, Sid and Jake Gensel combined for 42 points in 12 Stanley Cup playoff games. So, if they played a four-game series with the Islanders, that would be even higher. But no shade on the Islanders there. I think they're a decent team. But Jake Gensel is my value wing of the night. And it's the same thing where you could go all in and stack him with Crosby. It's at the point now where I take Jake Gensel as a standalone.
And Brian Rust rounded out that line if you're looking for someone dirt cheap who brings maybe an easier stacking formation to roster a Sidney Crosby on this night. But again, with the Sprong trade to Anaheim, I would not be surprised at all if Pittsburgh ends up regretting that trade, because we're already seeing them dropping like flies, and this is not a team that can afford to lose any of its star players.
Chris Letang, speaking of star players, had a good game too. I think he had 2 goals, so that helped me in one of my leagues. But yeah, so on the other side of the ice here with the Senators, after the Duchesne injury, I feel less inclined to have any Senators in my lineup. When you lose a player of his caliber, you're going to be chasing the puck a lot in games, and that does not bode well for offensive production.
I was getting hit up with a couple of questions yesterday, and one of them was a Thomas Chabot for Jamie Benn trade. Like, you can probably sell very high on Thomas Chabot right now, especially after this indicator that things could come crashing down. If Matt Duchesne's out of the lineup for the foreseeable future, the Ottawa Senators are not going to be scoring 3.5-4 goals a game anymore.
That is a must trade. I love that deal. I mean, I can't even believe that Jamie Benn's in the same conversation, but that speaks volumes to how good Thomas Chabot has been this year. Let's look at Islanders at Red Wings. I know the Red Wings are sneaky. They took the Leafs to overtime and won the game. They're a sneaky fantasy team. I talked about Gustav Nyquist as a waiver wire pickup on an NHL Network this week, so I've got some value here in the Red Wings.
Yeah, Nyquist has been really strong on that second line, and he's close to a point per game. You look back at that one season where he burst onto the scene and had 28 goals in a shortened season, but really, in the grand scheme of things, he's never had more than 54 points in any season. It looks like he's going to get there, and he's on a separate line from Dylan Larkin, who has emerged as over the past two seasons as a very strong standalone player with elite capability this season. We saw it in overtime with that electric winner that he scored against the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, he's on a crazy pace this year for over 70 points, which would be a career high for him. Really, really nice news for Detroit there, because they could be on a team that does a quick rebuild in the next couple years. They have Zadina, who's producing the AHL. But from a DFS standpoint, this game, I do not have any players in my lineup on either side. Again, it will be kind of one of those trap games where it's two competitive teams, sort of surprising competitive teams, but from a DFS angle, it's hard for me to hit either side.
I like the Red Wings in this game. I feel pretty strongly about it. I just think the Islanders are prone, because of their talent level, to some lapses, some hot streaks, but also some cold streaks. And you look at two different trends here. Dylan Larkin, if you spend up for him, since November 15th, 52 shots in 11 games, almost five per game, and he had a 10-shot-on-goal game in that stretch. So I'm really looking at him. And then the Red Wings in general, since Mike Green came back, he hasn't done much damage on the power play, but he's been an elite point-producing defenseman at even strength. And the Red Wings, since he's come back, have a top 10 offense and have outscored opponents 64-56 in the toughest division in the league. And I know you led your defenseman rankings this week with Mike Green. What are your thoughts on him as a former Capital and a former 70-plus point defenseman, starting to look like that type of player again in the late stages of his career?
Also a former Hershey Bear, if we're getting into the history lesson. There, but Mike Green's a high quality player. He always has been, and without him producing on the power play, to me that says his ceiling is even higher. So good trade target there. Let's talk about the big guns though. Avalanche at Lightning, loaded with DFS value, but really you can only pick one side in this one. I'm siding with the Avs.
I agree. I think the Avs prove that they could walk into another building with the big win in Florida. Florida was red hot offensively. Philip Grubauer, I'm really interested to see if he gets the start in this game. He's been playing really well after that season opening loss. He's 7-0-2, I think. So, and he's 4-0-0 with a 931 in his past four. And Semyon Varlamov is starting to get back into that shaky ground. He had a shutout, and then the next game he gave up six. So this is something to monitor here. And Philip Grubauer is only like 30% owned right now.
That's classic Varlamov. I mean, that is, he's been that player since he entered the league. But I like that resurgence spot. Depending on who's starting, I would still look at an Avs goalie and feel confident. If the only reason why I say that is because their price might be a little lower since they're going up against Kucherov, Stamkos, etc. For the Lightning, we got to talk about Matthew Joseph, though, as the value play there. He's got four goals in his past four games, plus seven rating. So even in season-long leagues now, and we saw it last year too, Pete, you can just stream any of these Lightning depth guys, and they're only going to help you in season-long.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see if Joseph might get a top six crack at some point. It seemed like he was skating on the second line that one day last week, but he never really ended up playing there for an extended period of time. This guy, dating back to the preseason, has done really well in a bottom six role, and we've seen that in years past, right? Yanni Gourde last year got off to that hot start on the third line, then was elevated, and you know the rest. So keep a keen eye on Matthew Joseph. He's definitely trending in the right direction for one of the deepest offenses in the league.
And for a value play in this game, I do have Carl Soderberg. You guys might be hearing that name from my mouth a lot, but hey, he's lining pockets right now. He had two goals in the Thursday slate. That's the difference maker. He was $4,300 for that game. I imagine his price will still be below $45 for this game. I think this thing keeps rolling with their depth scoring.
And we always talk about this top line for Colorado, but you did some extended research on them for your Behind the Numbers piece, which you do once a week for NHL.com regular coverage. So that's a great piece that everybody should check out. So this Avalanche top line is on pace to be the most productive in the NHL trios in about 20 years.
In about 20 years since Jaromir Jagr played with Ron Francis and Stu Barnes. It was one of the best lines ever in hockey for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So the things that they're doing any given night, you got to look at them in DFS season long, whatever it is, as the highest upper echelon fantasy players in the NHL.
And the other day I rolled out I spent up for Rantanen in two lineups, and both of them cashed. So he's just a guy that you can bank on at this point, regardless of the price. I mean, you could get a little more flexible with your centers based on the price points, but Mikko Rantanen is a lineup lock every single night, still leading the league in scoring.
What about the Rangers at Panthers? That's a game that the Rangers have played the Panthers, very intense, competitive games. So they've been in New York. Now they're going down to Florida. They've got to take on a Florida team that has recovered from some of these injuries. It looks like they've stabilized a little bit. Roberto Luongo came back in the lineup. He's 1-1 with a .942 save percentage, which is great. Even better than that, he played Colorado and Boston in those two games.
I think the Panthers win this game, maybe convincingly. The only positive note for the Rangers, who have not been playing well lately, they're probably going to get Pavel Buchnevich back. He had the broken thumb, has missed, I think, the past 11 games, but sounds like he's going to come back. But I worry about the Rangers coming off a five-day break. They haven't played since last Sunday. So capitalize on Luongo, who you mentioned is strong play since returning. That also carries over to his home play on the season. 3-1, 945 save percentage and one shutout. I trust the Huberto-Barkov line. I think that the Panthers' depth at every position will hold true, and I think they win this game against the Rangers.
I have Luongo as my goalie on the slate for Saturday. Another player, if you need help rounding out your lineup, if you have a couple $1,000 open for your wing spot, look at Mike Hoffman. He has 2 goals, 20 shots on goal, 20 in his past 5 games. So in a FanDuel DFS contest, that could be the difference maker for you.
So now let's take a look at Capitals at Blue Jackets. This is a playoff rematch from last year, so an interesting storyline there. Tom Wilson still uncertain because of the injury. So you look to Jacob Vrana, 3 goals in his past 2 games, and Andrei Burakovsky on the top line. He scored the go-ahead goal against the Arizona Coyotes. The Capitals, even with all their injuries, overcame 2 separate deficits in that game on the road to beat a hot Coyotes team in Adin Hill.
They're a team that always gets up for these games when they're down, when they're shorthanded, these players. So Tom Wilson is a major loss for them. It hasn't been said whether he'll be playing in that game or not. He has not been placed on IR, so he is eligible to play if he's feeling up to it. On the flip side, though, I kind of like Columbus's edge in this one. Seth Jones was in my lineup on Thursday, called it on the network. He had 2 goals, really good production. For $5,500, that's a defenseman that Tortorella plays almost 30 minutes per game. By the way, Tortorella is day-to-day with the flu right now, so he might not be behind the bench in this one. So this is a game I don't really have a lot of value in for the Capitals. The Blue Jackets, I'd look at Seth Jones as I always do, but with the Caps' injuries in their top six, you don't know if it's going to be Burakovsky, you don't know if it's going to be Vrana, you don't know. I guess it's always Nicklas Backstrom or Ovechkin, but you got to spend up there. So value-wise, I'm taking a little bit of a pass on this one and then looking at the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets are a one-line team. Sergei Bobrovsky's been struggling big time, but for Seth Jones, he kind of rises to the occasion when he's relied upon offensively, because he's primarily a defensive defenseman but has a ton of scoring upside and ability. And I love when they get him involved in the offense, to be frank. So he's in one of those kind of stages right now.
This is a divisional game that you want to sit down, you want to enjoy it, have some refreshments, have some snacks while watching it. You don't want to be sweating out the entire game watching these two big Metro teams go at each other.
Now, next game, Sharks at Coyotes. San Jose, we mentioned they're playing Friday. They'll be on the second of a back-to-back. Does Adin Hill bounce back here? Because, interesting note, Antti Raanta placed on injured reserve again. We thought that was more of a day-to-day thing. Maybe it's a little longer term. So we have, in our joint league, we have Adin Hill. I mean, this is an opportunity to continue to roll the dice with him. And I kind of like this spot after the Sharks will probably have a run-and-gun, exhausting game against the Dallas Stars.
That's a good point that you make, that they will be a little tired from the Stars. But looking at Arizona, man, they just had to play the Capitals. Now they're getting the Sharks. I think this is going to be tough for Adin Hill. You're really seeing the best of the best in terms of offenses. And all it takes for the Sharks is one strong shift to overwhelm that Coyotes team, and the floodgates are going to open. So while it could be a good, you could roll them out in your season-long leagues and not get punished for it, I think in DFS I would take a pass on that.
Check his price, too. I mean, if he's still mid $7,000 and he makes a lot more sense and savings compared to a Carter Hutton, who I have, and a Roberto Luongo, who you said you have, so maybe take that route if you get the chance, depending on Adin Hill's price. And last game of the night, Predators at Flames. The Flames are playing really well. I was moving a lot of their guys up from Mike Smith. Backlund moved into the rankings, but now is day-to-day, so that's unfortunate. But the Calgary Flames, when they hit, they're one of the strongest teams in the league. They've proven that time and time again this year.
They're very hard to play against, and it starts on their blue line, where they have 3 fantasy-relevant defensemen. Mark Giordano, we've heard his name a lot on this podcast. Noah Hanifin and TJ Brody, 2 names that you probably have not heard us speak about yet. They are streamable right now, either in DFS if you're looking for value, or if you're looking for category coverage in season-long leagues, they're providing it.
And for Nashville's side, the top line, still very interesting. We saw 2 games ago, it was Johansson with Fiala, and Ryan Hartman, and that line stuck for the pass game, and Hartman ended up scoring. So maybe Johansson, like you mentioned in the previous show, doesn't miss a beat without Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson.
He's the glue of their lineup, and it's the same thing with Roman Josi on the back end. And you can even add Mattias Ekholm in there. No matter who's in the lineup, if everyone's healthy, if everyone's hurt, those are the guys that you can turn to and say, I've got them in my lineup, and you don't even think about it. Even if they don't get on the scoreboard, they all cover shots, they get blocks, they play two ways, so they're really solid plays in DFS contests.
So let's get right to it. Our Saturday lineups, big slate of games, 10 games. I'm going with Cody Eakin at center. Who's your guy?
Oh, my center of the night on Saturday has got to be Soda. And the reason why, I love that Avs team. I think their top line, there's nothing else to talk about. In fantasy, they are the best players, hands down, top five guaranteed finish. But I like their depth this year. We're seeing them play these tight games against strong teams by using their second line at least 16 minutes a game. So that exposure to me says Carl Soderberg is going to produce, whether it's shots on goal, whether he scores or gets an assist.
On the wing, Andreas Janssen, I'm rolling the dice with him. I love his lineup placement. I didn't really think, like we were talking about, I didn't think that he would ultimately end up with Matthews, but, and who knows if he'll stick there, but chances are after the past game, 2 points and 8 in his past 6, I think he sticks there for this game, and you gotta love against the depleted Boston Bruins, Austin Matthews value, and you could easily stack Austin Matthews with Andreas Janssen, who's probably still in the $3,000 range.
That is a great stack. And even I had Nylander with Matthews stack in my lineup on Thursday. The fact that Matthews just got an assist made that stack worthwhile. So the same thing here. If Janssen produces, that is big money. That's going to set you apart from the competition in your DFS slate.
And for wing, you have Jake Guentzel.
I have Jake Guentzel. I mentioned it earlier. They have that ability to absolutely take over a game single-handedly. With the Matt Duchene news, I feel even stronger about that matchup against the Ottawa Senators. Pittsburgh, doesn't matter who's in goal for them either. They're going to have a bad save percentage, but they're going to win the game. So you could look at a goalie there too with maybe a glimmer of hope, regardless of if it's Matt Murray or Casey DeSmith.
I like that play for sure. I mean, Jake Guentzel covers categories. Doesn't really play on the power play, but that doesn't matter for DFS. So that's a great play there.
He might play with Patrick Hornquist now, who left their game. Really, I don't know if we touched on that enough earlier, but Patrick Hornquist left their last game with an injury. He's come back into the lineup. He's out of the lineup. He's back in. Either way, he's scoring goals. But when he's out of the lineup, that elevates that first power play spot. Could be Jake Guentzel, which is even more of a lineup lock.
Very true. And now defensemen, we talked about both of these guys already. Mike Green for me. Jake Gardner for you. I think these are both potentially high-scoring games for their respective teams.
If you play both of those guys as your only two D slots, you're going to have bunches of cash left over if you want to spend up on Connor Hellebuck for a guaranteed goalie win, or if you want to go a high-end Rantanen McKinnon stack. You could probably get away with that if you're spending down for the defenseman position.
Definitely. I really like those two. Both great even strength point producers over the past couple of games.
I have Luongo as my goaltender. You have Hutton as yours. We're high on both of those teams individually going into the games. We do not have the prices ahead of time, so maybe Hutton's $300 more than Luongo or vice versa. I don't think you can go wrong with either one.
I'm very confident that both of those teams are going to win. Buffalo will snap the 4-game losing streak, and Florida takes advantage of the well-rested but potentially shaky Rangers at home. So maybe take whichever one is cheaper, but I'm looking at Carter Hutton's performance in his last game at Nashville. That was the first end of a back-to-back, but it was a very competitive game, went down to the wire, so I really like what I saw from Hutton in that game, and then also his home splits. 8-2-1, 925 save percentage. Absolute no-brainer for me in a bounce-back spot.
That record says everything to me. And hey, if you don't like either of those picks, you can play in a FanDuel contest against Pete and myself on Tuesday. So if you've got the goalie news, if the master has been giving you tips and DMing you on Twitter, going against the grain, you can play against us on Tuesday. We'll send the links out on our socials at NHL Jensen, at NHL Fantasy, and NHL Reese for me. So stay tuned for that. Really excited to get that going.
That's going to be really fun. I've been at the league for a long time. We've done like fan versus expert season-long leagues in the past, but it only really includes, 10 fans. So this is an opportunity on Tuesday. Keep your eyes out. We're going to be promoting this heavily in coordination with FanDuel, and Rob and I will both be in the contest. It's going to be a fun opportunity, low stakes, but a chance to probably double your money and compete with the two of us at the same time. So we're really excited about that. That's something that we've never done before here at the NHL.
This is high stakes because our reputations are on the line. I mean, if you see Rob Reese in last place of the contest, I'm going to get screenshot after screenshot on Twitter. So either way, it's going to be really fun. And please do not forget to subscribe to NHL Fantasy on Ice on iTunes, on Google Podcasts, stream on Audio Boom or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
And leave us a review if you get the chance. We really appreciate all the feedback, all the listeners. We're looking forward to the weekend slate. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.